道元禅師says everything it encourages us to attain enlightenment. The mountains and rivers, earth and sky, everything is encouraging us to attain enlightenment. So, of course, a purpose of lecture is to encourage you attain enlightenment. So we call our lecture, Teisho. Teisho means with teaching, with call, to help people to attain enlightenment. And a usual lecture sometime to explain the context of teaching, like to explain philosophy, to understand our teaching in philosophical way, it's more a lecture. A koa. Koa is more philosophical. And purpose of to listen to koa is to have intellectual understanding of the teaching. While Teisho is to encourage students to attain enlightenment, to have perfect understanding of to have their experience of to have their Buddhist experience. So same thing will be topic of our everyday life in its ordinary sense. And same thing will be koan, to encourage us to attain, to have direct experience of our life. Even though you think you are studying Buddhism, actually, you are, when you are just reading, you know, it may not be true, or it will not help to have direct experience of Buddhism, but just intellectual understanding of it. That is why when we study Buddhism, it is necessary to have strong conviction and to study it with mind and body, not only just mind, but also body. So, if you attend lecture, even though you are sleepy, and unable to listen to it, just to attend the lecture, in spite of the drowsiness, will be, will bring you some experience of enlightenment, and it will be the enlightenment itself. So intellectual understanding is necessary, but it will not it will not complete your study through by actual practice. You can study it in its full meaning. So intellectual study, we say, doesn't make much sense. But it does not mean to ignore intellectual understanding or enlightenment experience is quite different thing from intellectual understanding. And the true direct experience of things could be intellectualized. And to try some intellectual explanation to our direct experience is necessary to help to help your direct experience. So for us, both intellectual understanding and direct experience of it is necessary. Sometimes, even though you think that it's, you think this is enlightenment experience, it may be just, you know, intellectual, extended explanation of, or extended experience of intellectual things, and not through experience, direct experience. That is why you must have a true teacher who knows the difference between extended experience of a common experience in its dualistic sense. The direct experience will come when you are completely involved in your practice, or when you are completely one with your activity, and when you have no idea of self. Not only when you are sitting, but also when you are, your way-seeking mind is strong enough to forget your selfish desires. Or to forget selfish desire when you do something, study something with your whole mind and body, you will have direct experience. That you have some problem means your practice is not good enough. When your practice is good enough, whatever you see, whatever you do, that is direct experience of the reality. This point should be remembered. And if you know that, it is not so easy to say this is right or this is it's wrong. This is perfect and this is not perfect. Anyway, most of us, it is not possible to say good and bad, or right or wrong. Usually, we, you know, without knowing this point, you say this is right, this is wrong. That is, you know, ridiculous. When we know what is a real practice. Because you are just involved in usual judgment of good or bad, right or wrong, you can easily say this is right, this is wrong. We Buddhists, you may say, for Buddhists, there's nothing wrong. Whatever you do, you know, Buddha is doing it, not me. And so Buddha is responsible for it, not me. But that is, you know, also a kind of misunderstanding. When we say we have Buddha nature, that is, you know, the statement to encourage you to have actual experience of it, to encourage your true practice. We say we have Buddha, you have Buddha nature. It works only to attain enlightenment, to encourage your true practice. Purpose of the statement is just to encourage true practice, not to give you some excuse, you know, your lazy practice, or your formal, or just formal practice. The people misunderstand the true meaning of, or true purpose of our words. And you abuse, and or you make excuse for your lazy practice, referring to Buddha's word, understanding the statement in relative sense. This kind of mistake is everywhere. It works, you know, only this way and not that, the other way. Do you understand? Everyone has Buddha nature, period, no more. You shouldn't say so, or but. You should put period. Everyone has Buddha nature, no more statement. if you say something, you know, you will get extra. You have to put period here. If you don't, you know, your teacher will put big period. So we say, in China, people carry something on their head, honey or water in big jar. Sometimes he may, fall it, Of course, by mistake. But if you do not, look back like this, it is all right. You should go on and on, even though there's no more honey or water on your head. If you go on and on, that is, that is not a mistake. But if you, I lost it. Oh my, if you say so, that is a mistake. That is not our true practice. When skillful martial artists use their, sword, he should be able to cut, fly on your friend's nose without cutting off your, nose. It means that, if you have some fear of cutting his nose, that is not true practice. When you do it, you should have a strong determination to do it without any idea of skillful or not, or dangerous or not. You should just do it. When you have to do it. When you do it with this kind of conviction, that is true practice. So when you do it with this conviction, it is true enlightenment. At the same time, not just because of the skill, it is necessary to have strong conviction to do it. Conviction beyond successful or not successful, beyond any feeling of fear. You should do it. That is their practice, and that is the the way-seeking mind, which goes beyond the idea of dualistic idea of good and bad, right or wrong. Can you hear me? So if you should do it, you should just do it. We shouldn't mind whether it is you will be successful or not. That is our vow, you know, poor vow. We must do it. We must help people just because we must, you know. Sentient beings are numberless. So we don't know whether we can help completely all of our sentient beings. That is out of question. Our practice should go beyond it. The idea of numerous sentient beings or some limited number of sentient beings. A part of it or all of it doesn't matter. As long as we are here, we should continue our practice. That is true, you know, our practice. Of course, there is no limit in our understanding of our teaching. The meaning of Buddha's teaching is limitless, but we should do it. Whether you understand it or not, we should try to understand it. This kind of conviction is necessary when you started to study Buddhism. Then that teaching has the teaching, viable teaching, which you will not encounter even 1,000 kalpas of time. That is the absolute teaching. Incomparable teaching to any other teaching. That is the most valuable teaching. Incomparable teaching. A supreme teaching does not mean this is the best of all or something like that, in its comparative sense. When you have right attitude in your study, the teaching you study is the absolute teaching. So as Dogen Zenji says, we do not discuss the meaning of teaching in its comparative sense, but we should practice it. In its practice should be right. With right practice, we should study. As a right practice, we should study the teaching. We should try to accept teaching with right attitude. Whether teaching is profound or lofty is not the point. But the point is our practice, our attitude to study it. So whatever the teaching is, we do not, you know, we do not discriminate teaching in Zen, Kegon Sutra, or Lotus Sutra, Agoma Sutra. We don't mind. Whatever the sutra is, the sutra is all the sutra is our fundamental teaching. We do not discriminate. This is scripture for Soto. This is the koan for Rinzai. This is scripture for Nichiren sect. This is the scripture just for Pure Land school. And all the sutra is our sutra. Whatever the teaching is, if we have right attitude towards the in our study, that is our teaching. This is characteristic of Zen. And characteristic of true Buddhism. We do not set up any system of Buddhism, but we put emphasis on true practice. In this sense, we say Zen school. Zen means light practice. It means to extend Buddha's practice day by day. That is, you know, how to be Buddha's disciple. That is why we started Zen center here, or Tassajara mountain center, to practice our way in its true sense. It may be rather difficult to study our way in the city. But if you understand, you know, this point, you have no excuse for not practicing Zazen. All the rules we have, but all the rules we have here is just to make your practice easier. Not to make our door narrow, but to open up our door for everyone. Maybe Tassajara door is narrower, you may think, but wider. To have rules is to help your study. Because we know, you know, how difficult it is. So we set up some rules to help your practice. That is the purpose of having rules in Zen center. If there's no pole, you know, to climb up, it is rather difficult for you to experience what kind of feeling you have when you jump off from the pole. If a baby has no toy, you know, it is rather difficult to have actual experience of human being. As a human being, we must experience many things. But if there is nothing, you know, even though whatever things may be, things in our room could be, you know, devices to experience human experience. But if we have, you know, special toy for babies, it is easier to experience our human, and develop our human experience. The rules we have is just a kind of toy to help your experience as a Buddhist. But toy, it does not mean toy is always necessary. You know, when you are young, it is necessary. But after you know how to handle a cup, or how to work It is not necessary for you to have some will to, you know, push or to have some cup or toy made of, you know, miniature, you know, cup made of plastic. If you want to have a taste a food better, a plastic, you know, cup is not so good. It is better to use some ceramic, you know, or cups made of mat, what do you say? Clay. You taste better. So, you don't, it is not necessary for you to stick to toys always. And you should extend your way of life deeper and wider. But it is even so, you know, beautiful, you know, ceramic is not necessary. If you have, you know, if you are ready to appreciate things, and if your practice always encouraged by things you see, things you eat, you know, any special things is not necessary. Whatever it is, things will encourage your true practice. If you can enjoy your life in its true sense, even though you lose your body, you know, it is all right. If you are not conscious of your mind, it is all right. You know. Even you die, it is all right. If when you can, when you are encouraged by everything, you know, and when you realize everything is always helping you, then there's no difference whether you are dead or alive. It doesn't make, you know, any sense. It is all right, quite all right. That is complete renunciation. And your practice will be vigorous enough to continue this kind of practice forever, regardless of life or death. In this way, our enlightenment should be, could be explained and how to, you know, have this kind of practice. It's up to you. I cannot, you know, explain your understanding of Buddhism. You should explain your way of life as a Buddhist in your own way. So, you know, my talk is just to encourage your practice. But even though you memorize what you say, what I said, it will not help you in its true sense. Maybe it will give you some suggestions. Tomorrow, I'll go to Tassahara and stay there, maybe more than 10 days or 2 weeks. I must say sayonara, you know, for 10 days or more. Thank you very much.